10:30, public hearing. Mr. Hackett, I guess that's yours?
Yes. This is a public hearing. Read the title to the ordinance. An ordinance to amend Chapter 62 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article Roman numeral 4, Section 62-15, relating to the fees charged by the sheriff.
Could I briefly explain the...
Sure.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'm handing out a copy of the ordinance.
We got one.
Oh, you have one?
Well, we got one here on the screen.
Oh, okay.
He's got tax sales today, so deputies are...
This proposed ordinance would increase sheriff fees from 3% to 4% for the sale of lands and tenements. It would also increase the, or change the minimum fee on these sales from $300 to $500, and would establish a setup fee for sales on lands and tenements at $75. And this change would match the recently enacted change by Newcastle County. The estimated effect on sheriff revenues would be about $100,000 per year. In fiscal 2005, the office had a net loss of $168,000. In '06, $133,000. And in '07, a estimated net loss of $6,000. And Deputy Sheriff Steve Smick is here today if you have any questions also. This was introduced on July 31st.
Right.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Ladies. My name is Steve Smick. I'm Chief Deputy Sheriff for Sussex County. And basically, what we're trying to do is fall in line with the other counties because expenses have arisen. We have, our workloads are increased. We're trying to streamline the operations of the sheriff's office so that we can cut costs. However, we can't control postage and fuel and other things that have arisen. And these costs will be, most of these costs will be all bore by the attorneys and the real estate market and things like that, the mortgage companies. And what we're just trying to do, like I said, is fall in line with Newcastle and Kent County.
Excellent. Okay. I agree with you.
Quite a bit of concern, too. They were sending you the amount Newcastle County charged. You had to send money back to them anyway, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead with your public hearing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we open the meeting up for a public hearing on the ordinance before you?
Comments?
Good morning. My name's Tiffany Derrickson. I live at 54 Rolling Road in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm here to inform the county that the current problems with the county's 30-foot forested buffer law extend...
No, this is about the sheriff's fees.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I have just public additional comments.
Okay, all right. You'll get your opportunity.
At the end of the meeting.
You'll get your opportunity in a minute.
Okay.
You want to talk about the sheriff's fees?
Yeah, you do.
Of course I do.
Okay.
My name is Dan Creeper, 8041 Scott Store Road. You know, it's awful funny.
What's funny?
Every time I turn around, the sheriff's fees keep going up and keep going up. Now, you want to say, oh, it's because of Newcastle County sends a check down here. We got to send it back anyhow. Who cares? Why are we always increasing? Oh, I forgot. Dang, I shot myself in the foot. They want this for their security.
I like that.
Mr. Baker, did you indicate there were some losses in that department prior to this sheriff's tenure?
Yes.
How much were those losses?
In 2005, $168,000. In 2006, $133,000. And this last previous year, '07, estimated $6,000.
And what was the reason for those losses, in your opinion?
Well, revenues were down.
I mean, it wasn't anything the officials were doing, correct? It was basically the market had changed and affected revenues.
expenditures were.
Right, so no matter who was there, that's the issue. Okay.
Additional.
I guess I still got another question. You say revenues were down. What were the expenses doing during those years?
I don't have the analysis in front of me, but they did go up. There were expenses that went up. Some of it was normal, just normal increases, cost of living, and so on. The staff, there were some increases in staff, but I'd have to go back and analyze it to really
Expenses, especially in personnel, jumped a lot higher than what the office was taking in.
And what time frame? What do you?
In those few years that we've been discussing.
05, 06.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you, in 2004, the total expenses were $410,000, 2005, $549,000. 2006, $549,000. 2000, I don't have the actual, yeah, I think the actual for 2007 we have separately.
I believe there was a time too, Dave, wasn't that office down two or three deputies at one point?
Yeah.
And then we had to bring them on, and that if you're talking three salaries with benefits, I think that was the explanation of the jump from probably 02 to 04 getting them on, or 04 to 05, because that's 409 to 549. That was huge, and I believe that was the case there. He was under Sheriff Reed at the time, had no one, and then he was understaffed, so.
Brought people on,
and.
Okay. Any other comments, questions about the sheriff's fees?
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Can't do it. We got to close the hearing.
No further comments. We'll close the hearing.
Read title.
Read title again.
Read the title, please, Mr.
Okay.
Hatchin.
And an ordinance to amend Chapter 62 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article Roman numeral 4, Section 62-15 relating to fees charged by the sheriff.
Okay, George.
I'll make a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Cole, second by Mr. Jones to adopt the ordinance, title just read by Mr. Hackett. Any questions on the motion? Being none, Mr. Cole.
Yeah, the fees are typically paid by the people who need these services of the sheriff's department, and it by raising the fees to accommodate that, it keeps the pressure off of the tax base having to subsidize the sheriff's department. So I support the increase.
Mr. Phillips?
But no, I don't think the sheriff has taken a close look at his expenditures. I have to agree with the person who made comment that there's been additional staff brought on that may not be necessary. If four fees are increased, I really think a full-blown analysis of expenditures should be presented to the council.
Mr. Rogers?
I support it because the previous office holder kind of was trying to redefine what the office did, and this one's trying to get back to business, and that's the cost of doing business. I vote yes.
Mr. Jones?
My vote is yes also. If you look at the proposed budget, even with this increase, he's still at a $6,000 loss, but it's the closest we've come to breaking even in quite some time.
I am not too concerned what the other two counties are doing. However, the department is still, they're doing better. They're not running in the black yet, but they're getting closer. I support it only because trying to get that department self-sustaining, so my vote would be yes. Motion's passed. Okay, Mr. Izzo.
Mr. Tom Baker is taking
Baker.
Off much
Tom,
place.
Tom
Mr. Baker.
Now you're up.
Tom Baker.
Okay, I'm here to discuss the proposed agreement for private roads and drainage construction. Just a quick overview is this is very similar to the ones that you have been seeing before for the Ordinance 38, with the exception of we will not own and operate the road once it's completed. It provides, in addition to that, a legal binding that is more definitive between the council and the developer than the existing code that's in the in effect right now. It provides a time limit for the project, so it does not, you know, take 7 years to build a 200-foot-long road. It allows the county to include the homeowners association at major points in time that we know is definitive for their approval before they get the project turned over to them. It requires the present developer to amend the agreement should he sell it, which happens frequently where somebody that goes halfway through it sells it, and now we have a brand new developer doing the job, and we don't really know who it is or have any real major connection to him. It requires a developer and a contractor to have insurance. It's been required or requested by Bill Townsend and our insurance expert. It describes specific procedures for the project closeout, one being substantial completion and the other a final acceptance. And it will establish set procedures that will be more definitive than the present ones that are being administered now. Is there any questions?
Mr. Cole, questions?
No.
Mr. Phillips?
Time's up.
You said no?
No, you made a noise. I was...
Oh, let me go ahead and come
Mr.
back.
Mr. Phillips?
You want to come back?
I guess I'll hold
any comments. Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
You didn't know what to be against.
We just got this document yesterday, and I called Mr. Baker previously and asked some questions because I'm starting to get a couple calls about it. So when I got the document yesterday, I went through it last night and marked up quite a few things. And I think we up here at the head table need a little bit more time to go through this to make sure. And I see what you're trying to do. But how we legally get there, I think there might be some concern or questions. And I don't know if Mr. Griffith has read all this yet.
Yes. Mr. Roberts.
Okay. It kind of looks like that in some cases in here, we would be getting into a legal relationship with a contract and the developer. And I don't know how that plays out legally. And then it looks like I read some of the contracts in the past that we've done. I do sympathize with what you're trying to do here because a homeowner gets left up holding a bag here in a lot of cases.
Right.
But the document reads that it may have come from, the wording of it come from the contracts. Is that where some of this come from?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it's kind of like a rewrite from the Ordinance 38 one. A lot of the comments that are in there, I mean, there is a significant amount of changes in the insurance part of it in this one versus the other one. And the fact was is that in writing this one, I knew that we were not going to own and operate the roads. But we still need some kind of control over the developer and or his contractor, preferably the developer because he's 1 foot in the bill.
Right.
That he will do what he says he is going to do and is required to do. And this just lets us have it in black and white, saying this is what you'll do and this is what you won't do. And the other part is what we will do and what we won't do.
One of the concerns I had, and you were just talking about insurance, was in the area of the insurance in the article, there's a couple of things in there that I'm not an insurance man, so don't take that to heed, but I think there's some things in there just being a layman that may not be insurable. So, you know, I think it's a lot to get into this morning that to go ahead and say it's okay to do it without having some further review to go over it a little bit more. I don't know if we'd have a slow morning and we can talk about some more, but President Dukes, that's what I suggest, that I read it last night and I marked up a few things, but I didn't get it all done, and my pen dried up and Robin gave me a new one this morning.
keep in mind this is probably the number one area.
Don't disagree.
Everybody, when you have subdivision problems,
don't disagree.
Community problems, this is it.
Don't disagree, but I just
problem
think
is usually trying to get the developer to do what he said he was going to do.
Tom thoroughly explained to me the other day when I called you last week.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think if we could just have just a little bit more time just to go over this to make sure, because I understand what Mr. Cole's saying, you're saying, and the end result is the homeowner ends up holding the bag or homeowner's association, which is hard to get along with anyway.
Well, I think Mr. Phillips can understand in some instance with regards to one of the reasons why we've done this is Mr. Johnson, a gentleman that's been complaining about his subdivision, which is, I mean, there's a lot of subdivisions that are out there now that are ancient. Some of them are still on paper. The roads have never been built.
Right.
And there's just an enormous amount of ambiguity between what we are supposed to do or not supposed to do, and it just, to me, it puts it down in black and white.
Well, it's good developer versus bad developer. I understand what you're saying, and we all get these calls about these subdivisions.
Yeah.
Just another enforcement issue, right?
Well, my hesitancy in commenting is centered around the fact that it is something that we need to look at.
Yeah.
But we need to look at this a little bit longer. Yeah, there's a lot here.
That's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Tom, does it also cover, like, if we say they're going to do a clubhouse or a pool and all that kind of stuff, does that protect all that stuff in here by bonds and all that kind of stuff?
A couple of the things that, before we grant them substantial completion, we need two things specifically. One, a letter from Stormwater saying they're happy,
right.
And one from P&Z saying they've completed all of their other superfluous stuff of the subdivision, which would fall underneath forested buffers, if whatever you want to call them.
Or whatever,
yes.
Any amenities that could be in the condition or file site plan.
Right, so it's just similar to sidewalks that are mandated to be put in, of which we have basically no control over per se or idea where to put them.
That's on page 14.
Part of it, yes. And in the landscaping and the clubhouses and the pools and all that stuff, which we don't get into, but that's a P&Z item that we would obviously have to have approval from them.
But that wouldn't be included in.
Yeah,
that is included in the agreement. Yes, it is. Yes,
it tightens it all up. I mean, it just.
It's in there as a.
8A05 on page 14.
This is something we ought to be moving on, gentlemen. Helps the staff and help, it just makes everything a nice, even playing field for everybody.
It's on page 13, substantial completion.
So in other words, Lawrence gives you a letter of sign, and that's this kind of doesn't, okay.
Right. It's actually 8.A04 and 8.A05. 04 is the Sussex Conservation District, and 05 is P&Z.
Anything else, Mr. Jones?
That's all.
I've heard complaints, and most of it all has to do with insurance, and they're checking with a couple of the insurance companies to see if all this is even insurable and what kind of heartburn it gives to the insurance companies. So I agree with Mr. Rogers and the rest of them. I think it's a lot to digest this morning.
Well, like I said, the insurance was basically a write-out from Bill Towns and then Scott Agar. So that's why it was put in there.
That was our insurance consultant put that together as, and we did ask him to try to minimize it, so to speak, to protect the county's liability, but not to go overboard with it. We can provide more information on that. There's also in there a waiver provision that would allow the engineering department to waive some of the insurance requirements if we didn't feel we needed it or it wasn't practical, that kind of thing. We can bring this back to you in a few weeks if you'd like. You know, and any of the questions we can try to answer in the meantime.
Next week I'll be all.
Oh. No.
And you have a little time to digest it, and if you want, you know, make some pen and ink fixes if you want, and we'll rewrite it.
Why don't we? We just did something the other earlier in the meeting that we were going to put on the meeting after the
18th.
After the 18th, right? Let's not pile them up on the 18th now. Let's move that one maybe to the next. What's the next?
25th.
Third or fourth meeting, or last meeting in September. What's that?
We got the 11th, the 18th, and 25th.
Do that one on the 25th or something, because there's time is not of the essence, but let's not pile them up so we have time to talk about it.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Baker.
Okay.
Mr. Archett.
I
have for council's consideration today a proposal from Whitman Reckhart and Associates to prepare the facilities plan environmental assessment for what we called Oak Orchard Expansion Number 1, which council, remember back in May, beginning of May, you expanded the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District to include the area north of Oak Orchard. There was some discussion about Captain's Grant being in and out, those kind of things, but council extended the boundaries, and when we presented information, of course, we contacted our funding agencies we normally deal with, and they told us they would provide low-interest loans, and some of them promised some grants for the project. In order to get those grants and loans, we need to do a facilities plan and environmental assessment for this area, and the proposal from Whitman and Reckhart would do that. Just to address the council's concern about Captain's Grant, because I know you brought it up back at that time, the study will look at it with and without it, so we can move ahead in either direction council wishes to move ahead in the future. I will tell you that the county engineering department has a meeting with the representatives from Captain's Grant on the 28th, and they have taken a new poll which shows the majority of people are in favor of being a part of the sewer district, so we will be meeting with them to talk about what steps are next. So, but the proposal does address it with and without them, so we have that option when the time comes.
And they're going to do what now? They're going to study what?
They do a facilities plan. They're going to lay out the sewer lines, come up with the most cost-effective way of serving the area, determine pump station locations, those kind of things. And then they have to do the environmental assessment, which basically reviews wetlands issues, endangered species issues, all the things the funding agencies require before we can get assistance.
All that information is out there. They just bring it together, pull it together.
They have to send environmental assessment situation. They have to actually send letters to all the departments, the State Department and the Department of the Interior and DENREC, and pull that all together.
That doesn't seem real difficult. How much does something like that part cost? Just sending out a bunch of letters to these guys, getting responses. I mean, what is, because I always get concerned that the consultants sometimes are, drive up some of these costs. Is there some of this stuff just on writing letters?
Well, they take that pressure off of us. So, I mean, it sounds easy sending those letters, but if you have to send them out, you have to get them back. If you don't get them back, you have to call them. I mean, there's a lot of work
involved.
Yeah,
but how much are they charging to do that? That's what my question is.
I understand the concern. I'm just saying it's a lot easier than us doing.
Well, I understand. It's nice to have somebody else do it. I'd like to get Mr. Jones to do everything for me, but he won't do it.
The environmental assessment part, the total cost is $8,600, roughly.
$8,600?
Yeah, the environmental facilities planning part is roughly $39,000.
That's expensive.
That's the biggest part of it.
Right.
So that is the smallest part, but again, it's got to be a formal document to be submitted to the funding agencies.
Like one of my kids is going to college. He needs extra money. Could he, for $8,600, write some letters?
I guess that's up to council to determine if they're qualified.
They got their mother's blood?
So, are there other questions? I have
$8,600 for writing letters. Okay. How many letters they got to write?
Two.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, I just somewhere along the line, I think sometimes.
I don't have a number, but it's more than two. It's less than 50. It's somewhere in there. There's
got to be educated to do it.
They have to send, like I said, they have to send it to the wetlands people. Then they have to make sure they get all the results back. They have to send them information with it too, Mr.
Okay,
Cole,
okay.
To
all right.
Indicate that where the actual project is and what impact we're going to have.
That's a good excuse.
I'm about to pump it out of email.
Bureaucrat.
So,
got a motion?
I have a motion. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department, Sussex County Council President, be authorized to execute Contract Amendment Number 4 to its original contract with Whitman Reckhart and Associates LLP for the North Coastal Planning Area for Oak Orchard Expansion Area Number 1 Facilities Plan Environmental Assessment at a cost not to exceed $48,042.
So move.
Second.
I have a motion from Mr. Jones, second Mr. Phillips to approve the motion just read by Mr. Archett. Any questions on the motion? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried.
Thank you.
Mr. Eichmann?